This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Two tight ends, I formation. Morrow. Hand off Alvin Kamara. He gets pushed into the end zone by Adam Prentice. Alvin Kamara, touchdown, New Orleans!
Woo! That is boss fullback lead, and that is all Alvin Kamara.
Hope to hear more of that today from Mike Hawes and Deuce McAllister.
I didn't even realize that when I heard it live. You really leaned into the New Orleans there.
That was the last time the Saints played the Falcons. Yeah. And a big day for AK, big day against the Falcons, obviously. Welcome back into First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff, which will be coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We are here in the loge level of the Caesars Superdome.
It's quite low.
Gate B, you can stop by, say hey, as we get ready for this game against the Falcons. And Kamara is going to be talked about a lot today, obviously going to be taking over a historic position with the franchise as the all-time leading rusher for the black and gold. AK talked about that, about taking this title away, too, from his good buddy, Mark Ingram.
It's definitely a full circle moment because, you know, I came in young buck, and, you know, he kind of gave everything to me, just poured into me, and, you know, helped me kind of become the running back I am right now, like the player I am, the pro I am, because, you know, that was my example. Thank God he was in my room, you know what I'm saying? I had an example right there, right next to me to kind of guide me and show me the way.
Obviously, Mark Ingram took that title away from our very own Deuce McAllister. And Ingram was asked, what's it like having AK becoming the Saints' leading rusher, taking it away from Ingram?
He timed it great, man. He'll be able to break the record at home in front of the Saints faithful, and he'll be able to do it against our hated rivals who we don't really like that much. So I think he timed it perfectly, and just what he's been able to accomplish throughout his career, how he's grown as a man, as a player, as a leader. I'm just super happy for him. I'm just surprised it took him this long to do it.
I love how Ingram joked, too. He was saying, he's like, you know, records meant to be broken. Obviously, that is the case. And it helps when you see a good buddy like that. These two were cutting up in the locker room all the time and even on the field during their run. And just a full circle moment, like Alvin mentioned, for him to be taking that title now away from a guy who was his mentor.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I don't even know if Alvin was actually aware of the record in
last week.
Yeah, when he was like 11 yards from breaking it or 12 yards from breaking it, because he said Mark texted him after the game and he was sitting on the bus. Like, what is he even talking about? So, like, it would have been funny if he broke it last week and was, like, surprised by it. Because, and that's the thing, no one's going into that game talking about the record because he needed 167 rushing yards. He's not getting that. Well, man, if they got a first down there, right? If they got another first down, who knows? Maybe he does get it. So, you know, I think, and if that record had come in a win, I don't think he would have complained about it, but you wouldn't have been able to celebrate it the way they're going to be able to celebrate it today. So, I'm sure the Superdome ops folks have something planned. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do because, again, he's going to get there. It's just a question of exactly when.
11 to tie at 12 to break the record.
But no, it's a good feeling to know that the, you know, and no disrespect to Deuce, no disrespect to Mark, you know, in my opinion, the best running back in Saints history is going to have the rushing record. Just because the things Alvin has been able to do are
all around, right?
You know, and you look at all of the records he has. And this is just kind of another one on that pile. He's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season, which is kind of insane. And he looks like he's on track to get that this year based on his numbers. And, you know, we talked going into the year, like, hey, is he falling off? Is he reached that ledge where right. suddenly – and I don't think we've seen that. I mean, he had 155 rushing yards last week. He had 200-and-something total yards. Like, he's still playing at an incredibly high level, and the only failure is everything else around him. That hasn't gone
the
well
big enough. The biggest surprise going into this week, we kind of talked about it last hour, is the fact that he was not a captain on this team, and that's not a coach's decision, folks. That is voted on by the players. Just a little odd that it seems AK wasn't part of the captain's group, and luckily now he has been named the captain. Obviously a big game for him, big game for the black and gold. They need some kind of spark, so appreciate them at least giving him that title, because we know what a leader he is in that locker room.
Yeah, and he's really leaned into to this kind of change and reestablishing, you know, the vibes, the good vibes in that locker room that seemed to have gone away a little bit. Like, there was just some negativity and that was hard to overcome, I think, when you're losing that many games. And, you know, just kind of when you break the tension the way they were able to this week, I think it's really easy for everyone to just kind of recommit to that. To that vibe and recommit to the work and recommit to everybody else in that room. And AK is a big part of that. He's kind of he's the line leader, if you will. Like, everyone looks to him as an example in that room. And one of the reasons is because he's going to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah.
And so, no, it's good. And I'm glad they re-signed him. I'm glad they extended him. I'm glad they got that worked out. Cause, you know, there's gotta be in a 2-7 season, there's not a ton that's going to get people excited to go in, get into their seats. And I hope you get into your seats early today, because if you don't show up until like 3 minutes into the first quarter, you might miss that record moment. So, no, it's good for Alvin. It's exciting. I hope he gets a win to celebrate it with.
Yeah, and AK was asked how he would describe the energy now with this team, with the locker room, with Darren Rizzi brought in as the interim head coach.
Man, this night and day. I wouldn't be surprised if Rizzi came out with full pads on, trying to run drills and stuff with us. You know, he's just that type of dude, and it's organic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the dudes feel it. And it makes the work day not feel like work. You know, it's a good feeling.
He mentioned in that good feeling, which is hopefully permeating throughout that locker room, because I think it was Derek Carr might have mentioned that. They haven't had fun in a while. Maybe it was Tyrann Mathieu. Just trying to get back to having fun playing football, which obviously when you're losing, that's not the case. But it seems to have just been this constant slog. And you can feel that from the team, that everything's just been a chore.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the defense definitely feels culpable. They definitely feel responsible, because this is – you know, they feel like they are the biggest reason that Dennis Allen got fired, right? Because I think they're right, because if the defense was still playing at a really high level and the offense was the reason you were losing games, I think you probably would have said, hey, you know, we have DA here to be the leader of the defense and obviously the leader of the team, but the defense is his baby. It's why he has a job in the first place. The fact that the defense was one of your biggest weaknesses is a big part of that. And Tyrann, yeah, I think it was Tyrann that said, like, you haven't been having fun for a long time. He said he hasn't felt like himself in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it's like, and Tyrann said this, and Tyrann's absolutely correct. You know, it's not anyone who watches the Saints should remember what it was like in like 2014, 2015, 2016. You know, those 7 and 9 years where you knew Drew Brees was still playing at a Hall of Fame level. But the defense was so ineffective and so bad,
Swiss cheese,
that you couldn't even win with Drew Brees. And DA showed up and changed that. Right, and you can never take that away from him, and I think it'd be really easy to take these last 3 years and some of the frustrations and pretend that there was no good in what DA did. DA was the architect of one of the best defenses in Saints history over a stretch where you won more games than anyone in the NFL in a 4-year span, and so, you know, I would encourage people to kind of remember that part of the tenure as well. Remember his role in the Super Bowl run,
right?
And not just this really negative last few weeks.
Also, remember he was the interim head coach and ended up getting that 9-0 win against Tampa.
And here's the thing: if he didn't get that chance, I don't know. You know, that probably made a. I don't know how much of a difference that made in getting him the
big
job.
Big impression, though.
But
for
it definitely,
sure.
It definitely was a part of it. You know, like it definitely was a little audition. And that's what Riz is going to get. Riz is going to get this week and the rest of the season. He's going to Riz up 70,000 fans in the Superdome today. He's going to probably set a record for Rizzing up the most people at one time. But either way, you know, I think we had Scott Shanley on, and he talked about how you know you should look at Rizzi as a potential head coach for
right.
the future, and it shouldn't be just hey, we're going to try to get to the end of this season and see if we can survive it. You know, I think. You should hope that if things turn around and you can really get people committed. Because here's the thing. Next year is not going to be that much better from a cap perspective. I think you still got to take your medicine a little bit from a cap perspective to the point that I don't think that it's really feasible to move on from Derek Carr, even if you want him to. And I'm curious how the fans react to Derek Carr now that DA is gone, because I think a lot of the frustration levied toward Derek was a byproduct of them viewing him and DA as a package deal.
Right, that's his guy.
And I think if we separate those two, I'd like to see if maybe there's some more reasonable discourse around Derek, but I don't have much faith in that. Either way, I don't think you're going to be able to move on from Derek given the cap constraints you have, and moving on from Marshawn was a big part of that. We haven't really talked about that from a cap perspective. You're not only – so you're eating that cap hit for next year, so you're kind of breaking even from a cap perspective, but what it eliminates is $12 million that you could have pushed forward. And without that money that you could use to operate, to clear that $60 million some odd cap overage that you're going to have, the only real option, in my opinion, is to restructure Derek and move that cap hit forward so that – you don't have to restructure everybody else on the roster.
Yeah.
So, by and large, you're going to have to go into next season with a similar roster. You're going to make a lot of draft picks. You're going to have young players. But the core is going to be the same. So, if Darren finds a way to get this team locked in and wins some games down the stretch of the season, I think you have to seriously consider it. So, you know, that's why, like, this is an audition. You know, we talked about Dan Campbell earlier. You know, does Dan Campbell get that job with the Lions if he doesn't have that experience as the interim in Miami? Probably not.
Right. It paid off years later. It took a little time.
He wasn't a hotshot offensive coordinator. He's a tight ends coach and the assistant head coach. Like,
right.
I don't think you get that opportunity if you're not in that role. And so that's what Darren should be looking at here and saying, hey, how can I create a scenario where I am the talked about offensive coordinator, or I'm sorry, the talked about head coach candidate. And he does have that charisma, you know, the beginning of the word Riz, to get people on his side. And people are bought in. I think this team is bought in. Now, that only goes so far when you're missing the number of pieces the Saints are missing. But I do think you're going to see a bought-in team today.
You mentioned a lot about Derek Carr. We'll hear from him after the first break. Right now, though, we're going to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And we need some energy, so we're going to go down under, Jeff. And that means... Tony down under, how you been doing, man? How you feeling about today's game against those hated Dirty Birds?
What's up, man?
How are you, Steven, Jeff? I get to see the game today, and I was listening to you earlier on about draft picks. I don't care about draft picks, but the worst thing that can happen is being swept by the Dirty Birds. That can't happen, not in our house.
No, we're right there with you, Tony. And obviously, you think about the draft stock for this team. And at the end of the year, you think about the positioning, where they could end up. But nothing sweeter than beating the Falcons. And especially, like you mentioned, too, you've already lost that game in Atlanta to them. You can't get swept. That's the last thing you want to see on social media is Falcons fan gloating the rest of this year.
Yeah, and the only ring they'll ever have is a burger ring.
Say that again.
The only ring that the Dirty Birds will ever have is a burger ring. Not like the Saints, we've got the Super Bowl.
Gotcha, I gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, it would be very... I don't know. I just think you just got to end this losing streak, man. Like, you got to find a way to do it. And you know, I feel like this is that matchup where... You know, it doesn't really matter what the records are for the teams. Like, that's the
there
cliche.
Exactly.
They throw the records out when these two teams meet up. And unfortunately for the Saints, they basically have opposite records, right? The Falcons are 6-3. The Saints are 2-7. You don't want to – I don't care how bad your season is. You don't want to watch the Falcons win the division. And, you know, the Bucs are struggling. You know, the reason the Falcons, in my opinion, are running away with this division is not because they went into the season as the best team, because they're the healthy team. You know, you look over at what's happened to the Bucks without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and even a guy like Jamel Dean is a really big part of what they do on defense. And you know, and obviously the Saints are without, gosh, half their roster, it feels like, at all times. Although we'll begin Will Harris back, so it's in, I think he'll start today, and we'll see how that goes. Maybe that'll help you on the back
end. And on the men, big time is center Eric McCoy, which is huge.
Yeah, we saw him at practice this week for the first time. It looks like he's going to be back sooner rather than later. Like, I expect to see him push to be on the field next week.
Now you sound like Sean Payton saying that sooner rather than later.
Well, I mean, it's tough because you don't know exactly. You know, he's coming back from a significant injury. I think a lot of it is getting into shape. But, you know, he was limited in practice this week. He was listed as doubtful. He wasn't ruled out. So I think that kind of puts you on the fringe of, like, hey, can you be ready for the game before the bye? And I think that's a good time to come back for a player because then, you know, the big question is, okay, you play a full game. How do you recover from that? And that would give him the bye week. So I would expect to see Eric out there next week. And, you know, you'll start to get some of these players back. You're not going to get Rashid Shaheed back. You're not going to get Paulson Adebo back. You're not going to get Marshawn Lattimore back. You're not going to get Chris Olave back anytime soon. Kendre Miller, which was kind of a strange scenario. Yeah. Sounds like if he wasn't on IR, he could potentially play either this week or next. He's not going to be able to because he's on IR. He won't be able to come back until week 13. But, you know, he's a guy that you'll probably get back eventually, and you'll see how it goes. So, I don't know. If you win a couple games in a row, you start to have some good vibes, and maybe you can turn this thing around to some extent. But we'll see.
Tony, I know you got one more thing down under you want to bring up. What's up?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the defense plays today, and particularly if they can stop the run because they haven't been able to do that for the last 7 weeks.
So you bring that up, and obviously this Atlanta Falcons duo of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Man, Allgeier seems to have some of his best games against this black and gold bunch.
Yeah, I think Tyler Allgeier is my bigger concern than Bijan Robinson. And that's not to say Bijan is not a massive concern, but, you know, when the Saints get in trouble against the run, it's not these, like, 30 to 40-yard explosive runs. It's these 8 to 12-yard runs on first down where, you know, you're just setting yourself up to get, you know, a 10-15-play drive to, you know, that's what happened against the Chargers late in the first half. They had a 15-play touchdown drive. And when you're allowing chunk runs on first down, things become a lot easier for you. But I do think that the Saints have been better against the run the last 2 weeks. Getting Pete Warner back was a big part of that.
The Chargers game was definitely a nice turnaround.
The Chargers game, I thought they played well against the run. I thought they played reasonably well against the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, obviously, 72 yards on 15 carries, 2 touchdowns. But I don't think he's the reason that you lost that matchup. I thought they bottled him up reasonably well throughout the course of that game. So we'll see. I'd like to see them continue that and continue to get better against the run. That said, it's tough when you're undermanned on the outside because you want to devote some extra resources. I think you're going to see Joe Woods get a little more aggressive today than maybe they did in week 4 and maybe they have over the last several weeks. Because I just need to get Kirk Cousins off his spot.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
I need to make Kirk Cousins feel some heat and operate under pressure.
As Bobby would say, can't be making a sandwich back there.
Right, exactly, right? You can't be like sewing a sweater back there or knitting a sweater back there.
Which one should I throw to?
Because if you allow him to sit back there and pick you apart, he's going to pick you apart, right? If you get any pressure on him, then his life becomes a lot more difficult because he can't really move. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little more slot pressure. Maybe you send the linebackers on blitzes a little bit more. And that's the question of, like, hey, what does Joe Woods like to do? He told us that, you know, the defense isn't going to change schematically all that much. But, you know, there's certain things that he might call more that he might like in certain situations that DA maybe didn't. And so we'll have to see if that leads to positive results or if it's, you know, more of the same.
I want to remind folks that New Orleans Saints have partnered with Seaside Events to promote the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. That's mingling with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. Make sure you go check that out online. We're going to take a break here on First Take. Be back with more. Hear from Derek Carr right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BWL. Welcome back into First Take. And Jeff, we have got some super big positivity on our Oakland Heart Jewelers text line. Love to see it. Sam, come on, guys. Saints have a player in every position. They might not be all pro players yet, but we've got to have faith. 10-7 is still mathematically possible. Is it not?
That is true, but 17-0 was mathematically possible at the beginning of the season. We didn't talk about that, did we? No, I mean, like, you know, this team is going to play it out in a way that is like the idea that they're going to pack it in because, like, the season's over. No, they're going to look at this and say, hey, and Foster said this on Monday when he went out to kind of address the Dennis Allen firing. Foster and Tyron, the two New Orleans guys, you know, spoke for the team in that respect. And he said, hey, if I kind of look at it like, hey, you lose seven games in a row, why can't you win eight games in a row? And, you know, that's kind of, the pie in the sky. Like, you know, that's how I used to look at it. I was on a travel soccer team, and we weren't very good. But we wanted to have a travel soccer team, so we were on it. And we would lose every game by, like, 15. And that was always my logic at halftime. Like, they scored eight goals in the first half. Why can't we score eight goals in the second half? And we couldn't because we were physically incapable of doing that. But that's how I psyched myself up to
go play.
Got to
have the mindset.
So
right?
that's how the team's going to approach it. And no, I mean, like, there's going to be this assessment of this team. Like, they lost seven games in a row because they don't have any talent. And I don't think that's true. I think that they have a lot of good pieces on this team. Now, I don't think the depth is good enough, and I think that's something that kind of builds over the course of time when you don't hit enough draft picks and, you know, young players that you brought in to replace other guys like a Marcus Davenport. Like, you look at the 2019 draft and yikes. You look at the 2018 draft and yikes. Like, Eric McCoy is the only player from both of those drafts that's on the roster at this point, and he's been out. So you could see, like, the 2018 and 2019 drafts, you don't have a single player active from those drafts today. And that can't happen. And that's that's how you end up in a situation where, like, yeah, the injuries are tough. The injuries are overwhelming to pretty much any team in the NFL. But it's even worse when the players you have behind them are not guys that you feel like are going to step in and develop into starters, right? You're calling up guys off the practice squad, and you're just trying to figure it out. And so that's where I think the Saints have had problems, is behind the front line. Like, I think on the front line, like, and that's why you watch training camp. And you come away thinking, hey, this team has a chance because the first 11 offense, the first 11 on defense, that team's good enough to win. Now, you get to the second and third string.
There's
and,
a significant drop.
And it's not good enough to win.
Yeah.
And so those are the teams that I think have the most success over an extended period of time are the ones that, you know, Pete Werner goes down, Caden Ellis steps in, right? And suddenly Caden Ellis is a starting player for another team. Like, you really haven't had that this year. Like, look around this roster and point to the players that got an opportunity, and now you're like, oh, that guy could be something in a couple of years. You haven't really had that. And so, to me, that's the issue. Not so much having talented players, is having kind of a pipeline of young, developing players. And that's why you don't want to ever have to be in a situation where trading your star cornerback is the best option. But that is exactly where the Saints are in you need to develop young talent. You need to get that young talent, first of all. And how you do that is you accumulate draft picks and you make those picks and you bring them in and you coach them up and you have good quality players. And so I agree with Sam in that sense. Like, I don't think the issue is that you don't have talent. The issue is that the depth has not been good enough. And, you know, as you get some of these players back, I think you'll be more competitive. And I think that's going to be the case today.
Trying to get a feeling on how this black and gold bunch is right now. No head coach. Dennis Allen fired. You get rid of Marshawn Lattimore in a trade, get some draft picks back. Derek Carr, the quarterback of this black and gold team, was asked, how is the team feeling?
Our backs are against the wall, literally. And it sucks. We put ourselves there. But we are trying our best. You know, we are to put our, we're every day. You know, I come in here early and there's guys in here early. I stay late and there's still like a whole bunch of guys in their meeting rooms and guys on the practice field afterward. And so there's a lot of guys trying to do the right thing. Like the feeling was, no, we're going to, you know, whoever's next on the schedule, like, you know, they got to be ready for a fight. You know, we're not just going to lay down and, you know, die. We're not just going to lay down and, you know, let it happen. You know, you got to fight back.
That fight continues on today into a matchup that is a must-win for this black and gold team. If, you know, to just restore some positivity after a seven-game skid, plus it's against your division rivals. Unfortunately, Derek Carr has got plenty of experience with this mid-season coaching change,
yes,
having been with the Raiders. And he was asked, can anything positive come from a coaching change halfway through the season?
When you started hearing the rumblings that it might happen, I was like, whatever. We didn't know who it was going to be yet. And I said, well, whoever it is, it just, whatever it was, whether it was good or bad, it doesn't matter. It just has to be different. You know, when you come in the building on Wednesday, it has to feel different. There has to be a new energy because you've, you know, it just, you go however many in a row that hasn't gone well, something that Wednesday has to feel different. And this Wednesday felt different. And it just, in my experience, when it feels different, does it result in wins and all that kind of stuff right away? No, but it usually results in good results down the road. And our plan is to make the good results now, obviously. But whatever it is, the feeling of the building, the feeling, the energy, the schedule, whatever, you have to start doing stuff differently, you know. And he said, look, we got to do something different. And we all have to buy into that. And we bought into it. And when that happens, just in my experience, that usually is a good thing. I've been around some times where someone has to step in or something, it kind of just stays the same. And it's like, you kind of, with the older players, they're like, what are you offering, you know, me, that some kind of hope, you know, that it can be different results wise, you know? So just in my experience, like if you come in with something different and a plan that points to winning, that, you know, guys are used to seeing, like, and we've all had spurts where we've won in our career and you look at it and you're like, that reminds me of that, you know, and that kind of gives you hope back about it.
Derek Carr there talking about the coaching change and things feeling different. Well, what's been different with Coach Rizzi now leading the way? He also has a follow-up in this answer when asked about the activation period.
Well, definitely practice was different. The time that we're out there, the intensity of what we're doing and how we're doing it, and there's no wasted minute of the day. You know, like, I mean, the schedule, you know, the rest he's allowing us to get, and his big thing, I think, is for us to feel fresh on Sundays. Just if I'm looking at it as a veteran player, how he's putting the schedule, the mental reps, you know, especially as you get later in the season, you know, his answer isn't just to continue. Because I've had coaches on both sides, and I've seen it work and not work on both ways. You know, there's some coaches that think, you know, if it's not working, well, we got to do more physically. And then his mindset is, we're going to still do the physical, but I need more mentally. Because, you know, the discipline of the penalties, the discipline of the mental errors, you know, so far for us as a team, that could be better. And so for him, you know, us being a better mental, tough and mental aware football team, I think was definitely evident to me in what he's trying to produce in us.
Derek, just something about that activation period, excuse me, that he added. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what you feel in terms of the impact of having that?
Yeah. So, everyone's different. You know, we, you know, sometimes, you know, coaches have different schedules and different things, but his thing today was like, everyone is going to activate and we're going to do it together. And it's not just the stretch period, but this is like an activation beforehand, because, you know, we know, I mean, it's no secret, we've had a lot of crazy injuries, you know, this season. So he was like, I'm going to do my best to make sure that we're better at that. And that was his kind of stamp. And he did some other things that I don't know if he told y'all, so I'm not going to say them. You know, for us to make sure that we are physically ready to hit practice running. And hopefully, by doing that and the way he's doing the schedule and different things, that we're so fresh on Sundays that we feel great, you know, and hopefully that number you know, stays down or goes down.
Saints quarterback Derek Carr there talking, and yeah, the activation period. Wonder Twin Powers activate. It's basically, we heard from Rizzi saying, it's just a fancy term for, say, warm-up.
Yeah, and in warming up, doing the things that you need to be doing, right? Like, and I think that's the difference of, you know, certain position groups are going to warm up a little differently because of the activity that you are going to be doing is specific, right? Like, offensive linemen don't need to warm up the same way as a wide receiver and vice versa. So I think that's the idea, is you're just kind of being a little bit more scientific about it. And, you know, we'll see if that helps over the course of the rest of the season. But, no, I mean, Derek does understand this process, right? He and Foster were both in Oakland. Was it Oakland or Vegas? I can't remember at that point. But they were both there in 2021 when John Gruden stepped down and Rich Bisaccia took over, and they ended up winning four of their final five games, went to the playoffs, lost in the first round of the Bengals. Bengals went on to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they like Foster, and again, Foster was there at LSU when Ed Orgeron took over. And so, you know, these guys know that, hey, this doesn't have to go poorly. This can go well. Like, you can turn things around when you have kind of this, you know, this positive break in energy, but you got to win games, right? Like, if they go out and lose their next three games, we're going to be talking about this situation just as negatively. Like, you changed where you practice. I can't believe that didn't work. So we'll have to see.
You mentioned a break in the energy. Well, we're going to take a break here on First Take, gearing up for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon in just 20 more minutes than the kickoff in the Caesars Superdome between the Saints and the 6-3 Falcons, the Dirty Birds leading the division right now, gearing up with Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call, and Jeff Nowak on the sidelines. We're going to take a break and be back with more First Take, though, right here on WWL after this. Getting closer to the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon, 10 a.m. leading up to game time in the Caesars Superdome against those dirtiest of birds, high noon. Jeff Nowak on the sideline, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes in the booth with the call. And someone that, you know, we haven't really talked about that knows Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach now of the Saints, pretty well. Blake Groupie, obviously a special teams guy, the place kicker of the black and gold, and was asked what he's seen out of the personality of Darren Rizzi.
He was the coach that gave me my opportunity, and you know, he's worked with me through a lot going over the, you know, over the last, I guess, year and a half now. You know, he knows the stuff, and he knows how to work with specialists and get the most out of us, just like everybody else. But you know, he's allowed me to, you know, work on things, and you know, he demands a lot, and so, you know, the standard's high for us, and so that's, you know, that's what's demanded. So yeah, that's the standard.
That's what's demanded. So that's what's expected. I liked hearing that.
Yeah, you know, and Darren's a guy that, you know, he's gonna get in your face. Like, he's gonna be, he's not gonna pull punches. He's gonna tell you how he feels, whether you like it or not. And I think that's important. I think it's important for players to know where they stand with you and to feel like you're being real with them. And I think that's where the Saints are gonna appreciate having Darren as their head coach. And as a media member, I appreciate the answers he's gonna give, even though they're a little longer. One thing we can talk about quickly here. They just flashed up this stat, and the Giants just threw an interception. They do better than anybody else. They just flashed up a stat in the Giants-Panthers game.
Oh, those
game.
Panthers.
And we just joked, like, hey, how are the Giants not going to score on this drive? I'm like, yeah, I think an interception's coming. The teams in the NFL, the top three teams in the NFL, with the most points scored after the two-minute warning. Number one. So after the two-minute warning in either half. So the final 2 minutes of any half of football.
Okay.
Number one, Panthers, 19. Number two, Giants,
wow.
17. Actually, that's backwards. Number one is the Giants with 19. Number two is the Panthers with 17. Tied for second. Can you guess who it is?
The Saints.
It is the Saints.
Wow, okay.
The Saints are tied for second in
those
NFL.
In those two-minute situations.
In total points scored in the final 2 minutes of either half. And it makes sense when you're going to look at how their games have gone. They have had a lot of drives come down to, you know, like the game against the Eagles, they scored a touchdown, a two-minute warning. I don't know if that technically counts. But a game against the Falcons, they scored a touchdown inside 2 minutes to go ahead. And, no, it's just an interesting stat because you would think, like, oh, that must be good, right? You must be good if you're scoring in the final 2 minutes of a half.
Not so much.
3-2-7 football teams.
Another thing with special teams, you look at last game. Punter Matt Hayball, he reached a top speed of 20.19 miles per hour on that fake punt. That's brought to us by Next Gen Stats, the fastest speed by a punter as a ball carrier since week 10 of 2018. Blake Groupie was asked about the speed of Matthew Hayball.
if every once in a while, if you check the film on covering a punt, you know, he'll get down there almost a little too fast. We got to, you know, pull back the reins on him a little bit. But I don't know what, you know, what kind of 40 he ran. We might have to ask him that. But yeah, he can run. I think that's whatever that, you know, next gen, 20 miles an hour or whatever. I mean, it's not easy to do.
And I saw, you know, your tweet, Jeff, popped up when I Googled Matt Hayball, and it says that he is termed affectionately as Australian Flash.
Yeah, I think that's a Rizzy nickname because of the Australian Flash. And we asked Blake if Matt likes that nickname, and he said he doesn't see why.
Why wouldn't you, right?
Most of the nicknames you get at this point are bad. So, you know, it's not a negative nickname, so let's go with it. Yeah, and I don't know how you're going to utilize that to your advantage, but it was a well-executed fake. And, hey, now that you know he can do it, maybe that opens things up for you. What teams are kind of have to, you know, when the opposing team is like conscious of you being able to fake it, then you know that makes it a little easier for you to cover on punts because they can't be as aggressive with your gunners. So no, I mean that was cool. That was like one of the nice things that happened in that game.
You mentioned maybe unfavorable nicknames. I remember when Traquan Smith was here, Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach, gave him the nickname Bullethead. And
really?
that's not a good nickname to have, Bullethead.
What was the meaning of that?
I think just because, you know, mentally, you know, he didn't really pay attention too much.
I never heard that one, but yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No, Bullethead was not a term of affection.
Yeah, not
sure.
A term of endearment. Put it that way.
Getting ready for this Saints-Falcons kickoff here at noon on WWL and the Odyssey app. I want to remind folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now totaling $19,760. Taking a break on First Take. We'll be back. We'll wrap things up right after this on WWL. Back here on First Take as we close things out, getting ready for the Cajun Cannon to take things on the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. We have here, Jeff, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, a question we can answer before we leave. How many times have the Saints beaten a Kirk Cousins-led team? Thanks.
Three. The answer is three. They beat him once with Washington back in 2015. They beat him with the Vikings in 2018 and 2020. They have lost the last two matchups against Kirk. One with the Vikings, one with Atlanta, and if you include the playoff game, they lost to Kirk with the playoffs. That's actually Kirk Cousins' only career playoff win.
Oof, I was around definitely for that game in London where the Saints lost to the Vikings, and man, Jefferson had quite a day against
double
Marshawn.
Doink, baby.
And that double doink game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so Kirk has some experience. Now, he hasn't played this Saints defense. So
no, but I even know, even in the losses, he's had some pretty decent numbers against the black and gold.
Yeah.
Not like Tom Brady.
His first three games against Saints, he put up 300 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, yeah, he's got some pretty good numbers.
And you know what? The last 7 quarters, we have not given up a touchdown.
Cajun Cannon saying last 7 quarters,
Bobby's
no
here.
Touchdown. Yay!
Is that true? We haven't given up? Against the Vikings? Yeah, okay. No, against Kirk Cousins. You're right. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
No, against the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't give it up after. Yeah, they scored all their points in the first quarter against. All right. So
that's something we didn't even mention. That first meeting, another wild way this team found a way to lose is not giving up a touchdown, and you still fall to the Falcons in a field goal kind of game.
Yeah, I think if they hold Kirk out of the end zone again, I think they'll have a good chance today.
Want to thank everyone
for bold prediction.
Tuning in to First Take. Jeff, have a good game on the sideline. You, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister starting that call. High noon right here on Odyssey app and WWL AM FM, WWL.com. Coming in next, though, Bobby Hebert and the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Thanks a lot, folks, for tuning in. And we'll be back with even more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.